people. What we're here for primarily this morning is to prepare for a session that the commercial stakeholder group has with the board. That will take place from 11 until 12. This room will actually be closed from 11 until 12, and then we will come back into this room to continue our discussion. And those people who aren't members of the three constituencies, obviously you will not be involved in the meeting with the board, but you're welcome to come and join us afterwards again, and we'll further discussions about what has occurred during that session. So my name is Tony Holmes, and I currently chair the ISP constituency, and I'd like to work round the table. I think everyone knows Marilyn, but I'll work round this way.
And my name is Marilyn Cade. I'm the chair of the BC. And just a quick word, the meeting is being streamed. There is an Adobe Connect link that you can find on the ICANN agenda. And the board meeting, although it is limited for our members to go with us into the room because of seating, the board meeting will be streamed, so you will be able, and there will be a transcript. So even if you're not a member, you will be able to be aware of what takes place.
I'm Steve Metallitz, Vice President of the Intellectual Property Constituency, and I represent our constituency on the CSG Executive Committee.
I'm J. Scott Evans, President of the Intellectual Property Constituency.
I'm Brian Winterfell, Treasurer of the Intellectual Property Constituency.
I'm Luca Barbero, Member of Intellectual Property Constituency.
David Taylor, member of the Intellectual Property Constituency and GNSO Council Rep.
Heather Forrest, member of the Intellectual Property Constituency.
Zbinek Lebel, member of the Intellectual Property Constituency.
Alain Vidron, France Telecom, member of SPCP. And also representing ETNO, which is a member of BC.
Hi, Chris Martin with the U.S. Council for International Business, member of the Business Constituency.
Ron Andruff, Business Constituency, RNA Partners.
Martin Sutton, BC.
Bill Smith, PayPal, eBay, Peace, BC.
Too much of them.
I'm Lynn Goodendorf with the Business Constituency, and I'm also serving on the Who Is Review Team.
Susan Calgucci with BC and the Who Is Review Team.
Akinon Maimar Jepinik for ISPCP.
Mark Partridge, representing the American Bar Association as a member of the IPC, and I'm a member of NAMCOM.
Pat Rinfort, representing FICP in the IPC.
Mikey O'Connor, member of the BC, going for a worst-dressed member of the ICANN Singapore meetings and co-chair of the DNS Security and Stability Advisory Cross-Constituency Working Group.
Jonathan Zook from the Association for Competitive Technology, member of the IPC.
Okay, thanks. I'd like to work around this way now. Marcel?
My name is Naomasa Maruyama with JP Nick, ISPCP.
Yes, my name is Tony Harris. I'm with the ISPCP constituency.
Hello, Chris Chaplow, Vice Chair of the BC Finance and Operations.
Jeremy Wagner, ISPCP and GNSO Council member.
Wolfgang Knoben, the same like Jamie.
Benedetta Rossi, BC Secretariat.
Jim Baskin, Verizon, BC.
Emmanuel Arar, Dreyfus and Associates, IPC.
Scott McCormick, BC.
Michael Adams, IPC.
Steve Del Bianco, Vice Chair for Policy Coordination in the BC.
Philip Shepherd, BC.
Andrew Mack, AM Global Consulting, 98% member of the BC and a member of the JAS working group.
Faisal Shah with Mark Monitor, members of the BC and IPC.
Fred Fellman and what he said.
Claudio DeGangi, I work on staff for INTA. We're a member of the intellectual property constituency, and I'm also on the CSG Executive Committee.
Phil Moreno, IPC member.
John Berard with the BC, and move unanimous consent to designate Mikey as the worst dressed member in the room.
Hi, Colson from the BC.
Aisha Hassan, International Chamber of Commerce, member of the BC.
Zaid Jamil, the NDRC, member of the BC, also a councillor on the GNSO.
Okay, thank you. A couple of requests. If you're not speaking, could you make sure your mic is turned off, please? And the other request is that if you are going to speak, for the benefit of the recording, could you please give your name at the start? I mentioned that this session is really about planning for the interaction with the board, and there's three issues which we've put forward for discussion with the board. It's the ATRT review, the budget issues, how it relates with the operational plan, and the role and relationship between the ICANN board and the larger ecosystem. So we can spend a little time trying to get the views of the constituency members on each of those so that when we have that discussion, we can kick it off on the right footing. We're in a situation now that's a little different for all of us. Traditionally, we've always met with the board at every meeting. It appears that that isn't going to be the way we continue in the future. We aren't going to have the opportunity to meet at every ICANN meeting. So these sessions get more and more important, and the preparation gets more and more important accordingly. So this is your opportunity to help steer us so that we can pitch our issues at the right level. And we're going to start with the ATRT. There is a link from the ICANN website to the Accountability and Transparency webpage. And, of course, the recommendations that came out of the ATRT committee have yet to be implemented. And one of the reasons primarily that we raise this and want to take it further with the board is that we feel that within these three constituencies, there's an awful lot of knowledge and an awful lot of help that we can offer in terms of trying to take those recommendations forward to contribute to the process. The sort of things that are going to follow on, there's going to be an assessment of board skills. There's going to be an independent expert's report on restructuring ICANN's reconsideration mechanisms. There's the development of a new public notice and comment process linked with a website. Translation guidelines, along with metrics and progress on all of those recommendations. But so far, that dialogue hasn't really taken place. And part of the thrust that we're looking to put forward to the board is to get an idea of when these things are going to happen and how we can actually help them along that path to realise those goals. So I'd like to open up now for comments on that, particular concerns people have or particular issues that you may want to raise related to that discussion. Marilyn.
Thank you, Marilyn Cade. Tony, there are 27 recommendations in the ATRT. The ATRT is an outcome of the affirmation of commitments. There's information that has been on the ICANN special page for some time that is an evolving document where staff have been instructed to update the status of the activities that ICANN is engaged in that fulfill the ATRT topic. And several of these are particularly critical to, I think, to these three constituencies, particularly the public notice and the reply round, which is going to be a fairly complicated rejiggering of the way that we do public comments. There's also a requirement to me, a clear statement that ICANN has to do a better job of how they deal with comments and integrate them. Can you tell us more? I think you had a chance to talk to Denise a little bit. it looks to me like that the staff have been instructed to update this document on an ongoing basis with a list of things that they say are related to the ATRT. But then there are some major areas where we don't see any substantive materials to comment on. And we, since the, my understanding is that ICANN is supposed to present a report in June, which I assume is for the acceptance of the board, but it's not been published in a way that the community can see it and comment it to give any feedback to the board.
Okay, let me pick up on that point and share with you what I know. I don't think Denise is here with us now, but I believe she will be joining the board when we have this part of the discussion with them. The issues that you've seen updated on the website, I believe, are just an initial phase that was considered helpful by the board and staff to kick off this process. The follow-on stage, which is, I think, the major concern that we have, is due to be announced by the board at this meeting as to how that's going to be taken forward. And I assume there will be some resolution linked with that for the board meeting this coming Friday. The discussion we have, I think, is to try to get ahead of the game a little bit and to make the point that certainly the input and the expertise that we have within these three groups can actually help them along that path. And as Marilyn quite rightly said, these issues are of fundamental importance, some more than others, but there are some really big issues in there as to how the policy development process will actually work in the future, how it will be reviewed, and what it means in terms of taking ICANN forward to meet the requirements of the ATRT report. I don't have any more detail other than that at this stage. I hope when we come back here at 12 o'clock, we would certainly be in a better position to consider what our future actions will be. Chris.
I was just noticing on the accountability and transparency.
For the recording, Chris, could you just...
Oh, Chris Martin, USCIB, member of the BC. I did notice that on the accountability and transparency webpage, there are links to, they're not final documents, but they have been submitted to the board for review and approval, and there's a timeline document, and there's actually a looks to be a fairly robust report document that we may want to consider in terms of providing feedback to the board. It's pretty lengthy, so I don't know if we'll be able to do that within the quorum.
Marilyn Cade. Chris, for those, I am not looking at a laptop, and I was on those pages 2 days ago and found a one-page document. So I'm, is this new?
I think it may be new. Denise had forwarded to me yesterday the timeline document, but I do see these are now on the webpage itself, and they're dated June 2011, update, the second one updated 19th of June, and another one June 2011.
Chris, could I just ask, because I haven't seen that either, whether the timeline, which you said had been forwarded to you, fits with the timeline that Marilyn hinted at the start of this, that by June most of this stuff should be done and culminating in a report. Is that how it is?
I haven't had a chance to really look through it. I literally just went to the page now as we've started this discussion. It does seem to be a fairly, as I said, robust report, which I think seems like it will be put forward to the board for its consideration. They note at the top, it says, this is a staff document was submitted to ICANN's board for consideration and does not represent board action. It is for public information only.
Okay, thank you. Steve.
Yeah, Steve Metallitz, the IPC. It's good to know about that. It is interesting that in terms of ICANN responding to the review on accountability and transparency, I guess in order to know what they're doing, you have to ask Denise Michel, and she has to tell you where the page is. I mean, I would think there would be a little better way of understanding this, because as of now, I don't really know what the board is planning to do. I wanted to hone in a little bit on one of these issues, which is the public comment process. And one thing I think cuts across all of our constituencies is that we are avid users of that process. And I think all of us have some concerns about the shortcomings of that process, and the ATRT report is a way to try to address those. And given that the affirmation of commitments calls for ICANN to make a decision on the recommendations by June 30th, I guess one question we could ask is how should we expect the public comment period, public comment process to change a week from, by a week from next Monday, or Thursday, I guess, by a week from Thursday, which is the which is June 30th. There are several pending public comment periods. Will those be affected? And I think we'll talk about this later on budget, but we just had a remarkable illustration of the problems in a meeting that several of us attended on the budget, in which it appears that the comments that we filed, that our constituency filed, the BC filed, several individual, I think Bill Smith filed comments on the budget and operating plan, those were actually, they may have been received before the Board Finance Committee met and approved the budget, but they were never communicated to that committee and probably were not even received until after that committee met, which was 8 a.m., which was 7 hours before the close of the public comment period. So that may be an extreme case, but it's somewhat indicative of the problem we face right now. And I think we should be asking the board how they plan to change that and when that will change.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. We will come back around to the budget issues and discuss them in a little bit more detail. I'd also like to point out there's another big issue that I'd like to draw attention to linked to the ATRT, and that is that one of the other consultations that I believe is going to be up and coming is going to look at the distinction between issues that are subject to the policy development process and those that fall within the remit of executive, e.g. staff actions as well. That's also another aspect of this that we need to monitor pretty carefully. Chris.
I was just going to add some detail, and I think it will come up in budget, but it was actually 2 hours, Steve. The public comment closed at midnight on the 17th, which is 6 a.m. here in Singapore, and the Board Finance Committee met at 8 a.m. So many of our comments, certainly Bill's, I know yours went in about 2:30 in the morning here in Singapore. The BC's went at 3 o'clock in the morning ahead of the deadline. I know the staff are great, but I don't know how they can do that in 2 hours. Thank you.
Okay, what I'd like to do is just make sure that there aren't any other specific points people want to add to the list for the discussion we're going to have over the ATRT report actions future way forward. And if there isn't anything, then we can continue on with the budget aspect, which is another point that we're going to raise with them. Steve, would you like to say a little bit more around that issue?
Yeah, I'll kick this off. I think our plan here is to split this between Chris and myself. And Chris will be talking about some of the process issues, which we've already touched on a little bit. And then I want to talk about at least one substantive issue, which is contract compliance. So, Chris, I don't know if you want to just briefly summarize what you're going to present, and then we can get feedback on that, and then I'll be glad to talk a little bit about contract compliance.
Yes, certainly, Steve. Thank you. Chris Chaplow from the BC. Yeah, I was going to talk briefly on 2 points, one on the process side of things and the other on the lack of detail. I think on the process, it's the idea that following Brussels there were going to be improvements in the process and we were going to have more opportunities, and I think using the concrete example, I think it was a worst case, but it did close just 2 hours before the information went to the Board Governance Board Finance Committee. So I think we need next year that the process is, the timeline is actually shifted forward. And then the other is obviously lack of detail. And I've got some examples of where, FY11, we were all told we were going to get more detail actually in FY12, and I've checked it against FY11. We actually got less detail. And I've got a sheet summarising all the financial information on the costs in the budget when you take out all the words and leave just the numbers. And it's very little. And I think that's what we're going to be, you know, asking for in a positive way, so that we're ending on a positive note and basically saying, you know, we're here to help ICANN, give us the information and we'll help, but without the information, we can't. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Steve?
I guess we can then see if there's other input from the members here on either of these points. In terms of the substance in the budget, I know the IPC and the BC and others raised a number of points. One, that we did have some discussion, the meeting that Chris and I are referring to, three or four board members were there, including a couple of members of the Board Finance Committee, so I think it was useful. One of the things that we've always stressed in the year, as we've commented every year on the budget, at least once, is the importance of contract compliance and really how central this is to the multi-stakeholder model. If ICANN's contracts are not enforced, then the idea that ICANN will manage the domain name system through contracts becomes rather specious. So we've always stressed this, and we're glad to see there is a good increase, 25%, in the FY12 budget. But we were struck by the fact that there were $0 allocated for contract compliance in the new GTLD program. Now that the board has approved that program and apparently approved Chapter 7 of the budget, even though they haven't voted on the budget yet, but that was part of the resolution yesterday. So there's nothing to indicate that any additional money will be spent on contract compliance in preparation for the new GTLD program. We understand that there will be no contracts actually entered into during fiscal year 12, which ends June 30th, 2012, with new GTLD registries. But the idea that that operation can go from its current level to a 25-fold increase in the number of contracts that it is enforcing, can do that. The idea can just jump and do that overnight seems kind of far-fetched to us. The budget, clearly as I read it, and obviously I had a long dialogue with the COO about this at this meeting, but if you look at the budget in Table 7.2, it's obvious that the new GTLD program is not intended to be cost neutral. It will generate a surplus of $18 million above and beyond what's necessary to pay for the costs already incurred, above and beyond what's necessary to reserve for the processing costs in fiscal 13, above and beyond what is necessary to set aside as a risk reserve, which is a very substantial amount. So the question is what to do with that $18 million. We found out at the meeting yesterday that, in fact, the budget approved by the Board Finance Committee was different, and it only has $9 million in that category. So I'm not sure what happened to the other $9 million, but I'm sure there's a good explanation for that. Be that as it may, there's $9 million, and ICANN has to decide what to do with that. Some of it could be put in a reserve fund, of course. But our proposal from the IPC was that one-third of that should be dedicated to contract compliance activities and preparing the contract compliance department to actually make sure that the registries, and as we know, there will also be many new registrars as a result of this, particularly with the vertical integration decision. We have to make sure that all of, you know, they're ready to enforce all of those contracts. So I think we should present that to the board, and while we don't know what the exact number is, since we don't know what was in the budget, whether it's $3 million or $6 million, the exact number is not that important. It's the concept that the board ought to be giving priority to contract compliance as a means of attempting to demonstrate the validity of the multi-stakeholder model. So that's a point I hope we can make in our discussion with the board. Thank you. And I'd welcome your comments on that and also on any other specific budget items that you think we ought to bring up.
Steve, could I just ask that during the discussions you've had here, Has the issue of the $2 million that the board threw out the other day been factored into those debates? Where is that coming from?
That is presumably coming from the $9 million or $18 million. So it's a bit of a moving target, but we know there will be a substantial seven-figure sum, and we are urging that some of that be allocated to contract compliance.
Thank you. Philip.
Thanks. I'd just like to speak very much in favour of what Steve was saying. I also think, just in terms of a response, it is helpful if we suggest a certain sum, just to see what they come back with. I think that's quite a good way forward. And just as an aside, and reference to our breakfast earlier, this directly reflects what we're talking about around our table, in terms of how you actually walk the talk in terms of the public interest. And I think that point is worth making as well. So I think not only probably we as this stakeholder group will be looking for this, but I think we'll see allies in ALAC too for the same objective.
It's always good to have allies. Could I just remind you to announce your names before you take the mic? The next person I had seen was Jay Scott.
I have a couple of points. First, with regards to the budget, I am very concerned about the toolkit that we supposedly in the constituencies have been told has been coming for 2 years, 3 years now. And in fact, in a private conversation that we had with Akram and Juan on the budget, they were of the opinion we already had a toolkit that was providing a certain level of service. I think that the board needs to know that the recent restructuring has placed onerous burdens on each constituency on what it is obligated to provide to the community, and yet they and pressure to outreach, which we can do at $10,000 a piece, or they can help us. And they keep telling us there's help, but I don't see it anywhere. I don't see line items. And when we ask questions, I get an email from staff prior to coming here, after our call, prior to this meeting, saying, oh, by the way, the toolkit, well, let me tell you where we are. But that's the first I've heard. So I'm a little interested to know what the board's going to do with regards to that topic. In general, with regards to the board, I think the point needs to be made that we continually see them say to us, don't come to us with problems, come to us with solutions. But without information on what the board or staff or whatever the plan is on whether it's ATRT or whether it's the budget or whether it's we can't come to you with solutions in a face-to-face meeting when we didn't get your position until an hour and a half. You know, we're supposed to be inclusive. We're supposed to be reaching out. We're supposed to be doing all this for you. And you give us 45 minutes and three sets of papers, all cross-referenced, all 20 pages each. And so we come to the board, and you say we're negative, and we're saying, well, no, we've never gotten enough information or time or tools in order to do what you keep asking us to do.
Thanks, Joe Scott. Chris, I believe you may be able to clarify some of the points around the toolkit.
Yes, and Joe Scott's, I was going to say, right to be confused, because the... We're confusing two areas in the budget here, and the area of SOAC support requests and the 10,000 is one area of the budget, and the toolkit actually comes under policy staff support in the budget. So from a budget point of view, they're nothing to do with each other. And we actually, in the BC, we reiterated our toolkit request. It's sort of a parallel process, if you like, in the support requests, and in hindsight we shouldn't have done, because it was in the other, and I mean that the toolkit process started a long time before. as to what to do about the toolkit, I think the as far as I know, it's been approved. I think what we've got to do is sit down with Rob Hogarth and get down to details and see exactly with the copy of your toolkit application with the 11 sections in it and get down to details and find out exactly what you can have and push it along. So we could do that jointly if you want to. We'd get Rob in a corner somewhere and speak to him. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. Just on that point, I've also had some discussion with Rob regarding the toolkit, and whilst that dialogue needs to take place, I don't think we're at the stage where the full toolkit is available. There are still elements of that that can't be provided.
Well, the toolkit was, of course, in two phases, the part in FY11 and the part in FY12, and it was amplified. What we could possibly have in FY12 was slightly greater than what was available. You know, the 11 sections, I think only 8 of them were available. Well, FY11's happened now, hasn't it, all but a week? So, you know, move on to FY12, so it's all sort of become a partly redundant, but never mind.
Okay, we certainly need some clarity.
Tony?
Bill, had you next.
Thank you. Bill Smith with PayPal. On the operational plan for 2012, have a request for those going to the board, and that's just to ask basically two questions. Were the comments considered, the comments that were submitted? And then a follow-up is, if they were, what was the discussion and what's the disposition of each of them? Each of them was you know, each of the submissions that I saw were very specific, and it's just, I think we all deserve to know what the board decided to do with them. Also on GTLD, the fact that there is no increased costs for compliance or anything else related to that, in terms of making sure that we're not going to just push additional costs out into the ecosystem. It's the only way that a significant number of new top-level domains can be created without compliance being increased by ICANN is for the ecosystem to absorb the costs, and that's unconscionable.
Thank you. Mikey.
Thanks, Mikey O'Connor. Just on the budget thing, a question for the board would be, well, let me tell you a tiny little story and then I'll frame the question. So I'm co-chair of this DSSA working group, and one of the things that I found interesting was that we showed up as a line item in the budget under the SSR category. So I thought, cool. I'd never heard about that. So I asked, well, how much money do we get since we're a line item? And I got an answer, well, we don't budget anything below the top line in the category. So SSR gets whatever SSR gets, $7 million or something like that. But the line items under it don't have specific budget numbers against them. And so I think a question for the board is, at what level does the budget system actually track resources in the budget? I have the feeling that part of what's going on here is that they don't have a system to track these numbers. We heard a great story in the joint CCNSO-GNSO meeting yesterday where a very able group of CCNSO folks found a $2 million error in the budget, and the answer from ICANN, as far as I could tell, was, oops. So, I think we've got kind of a budget system infrastructure question for the board here. It would be just interesting to hear if they're aware of that and if they have any plans about that. So that would be my question of the day.
Thanks. I must admit that $2 million error never seems to occur in my budget. But Jamie.
Yeah. Mike advanced one of the things that I heard yesterday. CCNSO has a group, a working group, to follow both the strategic operating plan and the budget operating plan. I think we could make a joint effort and have the same level of awareness that, at least from my side, I don't have. And I think it's a general thing here with all with all of you except Chris, that is my side. I think he is the only guy here that has a thorough understanding, or at least better understanding of this process than us. And I have a question to Chris. This toolkit thing, it's only, I understood, it is only restricted to policy staff, or has other resources also besides staff.
Did you want to take that, Chris?
Yeah, Chris Joplow for the BC. The toolkit is an initiative in the policy staff. It's actually came out of the GNSO improvements, and it's worded so that any organisation, I forget the word now, but any organisation that qualifies can have the toolkit. But basically, I read that as any of the constituencies, and it couldn't even be the work groups that apply and the GNSO Council. Having applied, there's 11 sections to it to do with some of the things that we already have and take for granted, the telephone support, some of the staff support and the secretariat, the transcripts and things like that. So it sort of formalises, and it asked each group that was applying for it what you wanted in each section. And I think it was, you know, it was well laid out and well done and organised. It's just moved very slowly, that's all. But it is separate from, I have to underline, it is separate from the support requests that we've had problems with just recently.
Thanks. That's my understanding as well, that it covers both the constituencies and the working groups within that category. Incidentally, I believe that the conversation I had with Rob Hogarth here, that he is quite open to having an update from the constituencies and working groups as to what you actually need out of that toolkit. So that's certainly an ongoing action that we should take away after this ICANN meeting and consider back within our respective groups. Marilyn.
Thank you. Marilyn Cade, so let me first of all comment on the toolkit. So far I have probably had 5 conference calls with Chris participating in various discussions with Rob and with Akram and Juan, and a face-to-face meeting with Abba, Akram, and Juan and Carol in San Francisco. We organized that because of what I would consider the fiasco experience in Brussels, where at least 2 of the constituencies had made concrete proposals, as well as the NCSG, and we somehow completely fell off the page between our making the proposal and the budget process, although we were assured by the CFO our comments would be taken into account. So I think we've made a pretty significant effort to be productive and positive and to work with the staff. The staff do not have the tools, Mikey, that they need. They've told me that directly in our call. They tell me that they may have them in a year to give me retroactive information. I've done forecasting and planning before in a previous life, and it's kind of not helpful. What they don't have, they can't give me. And I don't think it's a lack of will on their part. But I think it would be a really good idea for us to return to something we used to do. And I would welcome the establishment of a CSG working group on the budget and the operating plan with designated representatives on that from each of the constituencies plus any additional volunteers. But I really want to be clear that as the BC chair, my strong recommendation would be that we have designated representatives on that from each of the constituencies. The second thing that I want to propose for us to think about is a result of a experience I had before in the DNSO, and I have talked to Bruce about it, and that is the establishment of a budget advisory group that is drawn from designated representatives from the constituencies in the stakeholder groups and from the other SO and the ACs that has a face-to-face working session twice a year, once on the operating plan on the budget and then the second one on the strat plan. Should be open to anyone who wants to come, but again, I would say we need to have some designated accountability. Otherwise, they actually just are in an unfortunate position of dividing and conquering. They almost have no choice. I think that last one is actually a return to a budget advisory group that Steve and I were on, and I think Philip was on in the early days. And we were, Ken Stubbs, I think we were actually pretty influential and helpful to them at the stage they were in. So I think Bruce is extremely interested in that last idea. It would need to take place, in my view, the Friday before an ICANN meeting or the Friday afternoon of the last day so that it doesn't interfere with the other commitments we have, because right now we would not get the staff's time and we wouldn't get our own time to do the kind of in-depth work that's needed to pay attention to this. And Mikey wants to
talk. Okay, thanks, Marilyn. Just a final comment from Mikey, and then we're going to change topics. Mikey.
Well, in keeping with Jay Scott's plea that we come up with positive stuff instead of just complaining all the time, maybe one of the things we ought to do is tell the board, dear board, we certainly want that project that's going to get better budgeting tools for the staff in place. We want the priority and resources behind that raised. Because, you know, I won't belabor this, but I was the controller of a $2.5 billion a year university, and the budget system is kind of important for allocating resources. And if there is no budgeting system, which appears to be the case, it seems to me that one of the small positive points we could make is maybe you bump the priority on that project just a little bit.
Point well taken. Just in wrapping this up, I'd like to ask that the leaders of the three constituents here basically consider Marilyn's proposal during their meetings later today, and providing it's supported from within the constituency, I'd like to further ask that maybe we could even get as far as having volunteer names to form that group, because the quicker we kick this off, the better. If we can walk away from the meetings today with that accepted, it would be a big step in the right direction. So the final topic that we are going to raise with the board is the role and relationship between ICANN and the larger ecosystem. And Marilyn, that was something you were pretty keen on pushing.
Thank you. Marilyn Cade, just for housekeeping purposes, I'm going to say if you haven't signed in, Benedetta has a sign-in sheet, be sure you do that. And secondly, we are going to wrap here at 5 minutes till. We will close the room, and the reason we're doing that is I've heard a lot of comments about the experience that the board has had in interacting with different groups, and that the groups perhaps aren't prepared or organized or on time. And I thought as the commercial stakeholder group, we might want to set an example by showing up at the door, ready to talk, so just to set the stage for that. The topic that I want to introduce is the roles and responsibilities. Let me phrase it slightly differently. The relationship that ICANN needs to have with the larger internet ecosystem and the benefit of understanding the contribution of the members of these three constituencies. ICANN is indeed a part of a larger internet ecosystem that includes both friendly and unfriendly critters and other organizations, and sometimes they're unfriendly because they don't yet know and love us, or they're not exposed to us yet. And in other cases, they may be confused and think that they should be doing ICANN's job. But the point is, we have around ICANN a number of organizational structures, and that includes a very important organizational structure called the Internet Governance Forum, which is a major place where tough issues like ICANN's role and the role of critical internet resources and other issues are addressed. ICANN participates in that, But we also have challenges to ICANN's responsibility that are raised either by governments or by IGOs. And ICANN right now has a it does have an approach to addressing that larger ecosystem, but it is not an approach that, in my view, is well understood by the broad stakeholder groups at ICANN broadly. So I don't want to focus just on GTLD policy, which is what the GNSO is responsible for. Individuals in these three constituencies are very active in that larger internet ecosystem. They are leaders in it. They are contributing to it. The companies and the organizations that make up these three constituencies are both knowledgeable and interactive with governments on a wide range of topics, and we are a terrific resource to ICANN. And I know from working in that larger ecosystem that ICANN is not maximizing the relationships and leveraging the work that we could do to help them, and that would help us help ICANN. So I'd like to raise that topic of ICANN's relationship with the larger ecosystem and the experience that we all have in working in it. We have a number of people who really are leaders in that space, and I think it'd be good, Tony, to maybe ask Eric Loeb from AT&T and Aisha maybe, and maybe someone from another constituency that's active in that, to just make a few follow-up comments after I tee the topic off. But can we just open up the discussion to this?
Thanks. Anybody want to respond to that to start with? Eric, thank you.
Join over here for a moment. Thanks very much. Aisha and I work closely together at ICC, and one of the things we were talking about earlier today at breakfast is indeed the importance of recognizing the dramatic changing environment of how central the interests of the internet are to the government representatives participating here. So this is no news story to anyone, but one of the important lessons taken from the GTLD process is of the benefits of active, early, and respectful engagement and responsiveness. And indeed, as we see within the multi-stakeholder process, the interests of government are central, constantly working to improve the dialogue here is going to be critical, and it's a great opportunity. This is all stating the obvious, but we've certainly been working through this in ICC and view it as just an important part of dialogue with the board, understanding their perspectives on this and how we can continue to improve this. In a battle at the end of the day in the multi-stakeholder group with governments, without that respect and balance, governments can have a very heavy hand.
Just to add to what Eric has said, this is Aisha Hassan from ICC. I think part of the discussion in the ICC community has also been about how what happens in this environment affects other forums and processes where many of the issues that we're dealing with in ICANN are also being discussed, or broader ICT and internet issues are being discussed. And I thought that the Portuguese government representative made a very poignant plea during the board GAC discussion on Sunday about the fact that outside of ICANN, many of the government delegates around the table in the GAC are outside in other processes defending this model and defending this organization and trying to do what they can to ensure that it continues to evolve in a positive and productive way. So we have watched many of those government delegates and other processes, and I think it's very important, building on what Eric has said, that the commercial stakeholder group is seen to be helping to improve the partnership and cooperation with governments, both inside ICANN and then outside ICANN. Thank you.
It's Marilyn again. I just want to share with all of you that I think the board right now is in a bit of a quandary, and I hope we can help them. There are certain parties within the ICANN stakeholder environment who resent what they consider the more active role of the governments that have emerged. And in some cases, they feel that the business community broadly, the business user community broadly, these three constituencies used the governments to get what we didn't get in the earlier stages of the new GTLD program. I don't want to go to that level of detail, but I think this issue about an active, informed, involved set of governments through the advisory committee at ICANN was part of the core foundation of ICANN. And I do think there is a risk that if ICANN doesn't grasp this opportunity and enhance the active, informed participation, that there are other venues where governments are really being urged to come and take up a harsher attitude toward some of what ICANN is responsible for.
Bill Smith, PayPal. Marilyn makes, I think, an excellent point, the other people have spoken as well. Earlier today, Jay Scott had mentioned at the breakfast that the internet really is it's an international resource, and that ICANN, in a sense, is the trustee for it. On the one hand, we don't want scope creep for ICANN. We don't want it to go too far around things, but it really is, because the DNS is so central to the internet, the functioning of the internet. ICANN really does has a much larger role by virtue of that, and I think the board needs to recognize that. One way to avoid some scope creep, I would suggest, would be for ICANN to recognize that fora like the IGF are relevant and in their own right. I know this is controversial. I've proposed it before, but I think ICANN should take some of the 2, 8, 9, or 18 million, whatever number it is, and consider doing a major funding of the IGF and say, here it is. It's your organization, right, your forum. We recognize a responsibility, as ICANN, to help fund this, and we have money to do it. If done properly, I think it could be done in a show of good faith, and it would establish better relationships. So I just throw that out, but I agree with Marilyn. ICANN is not participating at these things, and others are. And it would be good for the board to consider those things and how they are going to interact, how ICANN is going to interact in a positive way.
Thanks, Bill. Philip.
Philip Shepherd. I think the suggestion is a very good one. I think we also need to be aware of what's going to be a slight confusion in the board and a slight confusion in the GAC, I think, in terms of the outcome of the discussions that they've had on TLDs. I mean, some of the GAC will have been under the impression that they were helping to pursue certain public interest or certain issues that some people have been asking for. It was actually well pointed out in a couple of cases, those issues were being pursued the same objective was being pursued by both sides. And judgments were being made in terms of relative harm in a world of uncertainty. And I think there is a job of some diplomacy to do that we can help in terms of bringing where there may still be a perception of difference when perhaps that is less, and we can certainly help with that. And just speaking in terms of my own patch, we should not underestimate the change that we're seeing with the European Commission and the candid-speaking Dutch representative, who is a reflection of an increased seniority within the Commission, increased interest from his boss, who is relatively new in that job and is a significant player in terms of commission politics, at a time when the key European directives to do with this area are under discussion for revision. And so there was a political opportunity to make changes in law, which may be unfortunate, being that this is a regional change rather than a global change. So there are lots of dynamics that I think we can help with, and probably something that the board would appreciate if we get it right.
Well, the importance that you stress there, Philip, I think brings us to a conclusion in terms of preparation. It's notable that since the creation of ICANN, this particular issue, and it's important, it's just got more and more important with time. And when you look around the ICANN community, the people that have engaged in this in the early days are very much the same people who are there today. It hasn't increased in terms of strength or representation or presence. And I think the discussion we've just had emphasises that we do need to rethink this and regroup and expand our efforts in that area. So this is another extremely important topic that we'll take forward for the discussion we're going to have in the next hour. With that, I'm going to close this meeting to enable us to go into session with the board. As Marilyn mentioned and I mentioned at the start, this is a session for the members of the three constituencies only, purely because of the dynamics of the seating. But the meeting will be streamed, and we will resume here in an hour when we'll pick up this discussion and the outcome from that board session. Thank you.
So you can leave things here, but we are asking all guests to leave. The only person in the room will be Benedetta. So if you decide to leave something here, she will make sure no one comes into the room. I personally never leave my laptop, and I would urge you, the BC Secretariat would prefer not to be responsible for your laptop. But if you have other things that you want to leave, I think you can feel comfortable doing that. And to all of you who are here as guests, we apologize for asking you to leave for an hour, find a coffee, and come back and join us again. I actually am going to make one other announcement. It's Marilyn. Some of you know that the BC organized a memory book for Peter, and if you haven't signed it, there's lots of blank pages, and it is open to anyone who wants to sign it. It's primarily got pictures of Peter in it, so you could endorse it. It'll be here when you come back. Thanks.